him up for entertainment purposes. So much fun. He's such a good guy. Oh, my. And it's great again to see Sister Michelle and Caitlin and William and James and Ethan. We hung out after church last Wednesday for probably another half hour at least, didn't we? Just such an amazing time. We might do that again tonight, but don't tell nobody. We had Candy, you know, the minister. You know, Candy's part of the ministry here. Praise God. Appreciate everybody so much. We have different ones on our hearts. Lord, please touch Sister Michelle today, Sister Michelle Green, and be with her and touch her. Precious, precious young lady. Amen. Be with her. Touch Brother Thad as well. We rebuke sickness in Jesus' name. We just rebuke sickness in Jesus' name. God, in your name, keep these folks that are on vacation, these families, keep them safe. Give them traveling mercies, we pray. Jesus' name. All right, this is our humor time. Got to have some. I'm going to tell you what, Josh Sandy has some of the funniest stories. Carvana, that was, every year, I'm telling you. There are several reasons why we put him up. Hey, praise God. Not only the wonderful preaching of the word, but he knows how to tell a story, I'm telling you. So actual church bulletins printed these statements. Low self-esteem support group. We'll meet Thursday. Please use the back door. Thank you for that encouragement. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. I guess that's what it's called in writing circles. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double doors at the side entrance. Give me a break. Last but not least, the Outreach Committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church. I think they mean affiliated. Okay. Okay, let's take a look at a verse of scripture if you will stand. We've got to have some fun or we'll go crazy. Amen. Sometimes we just have to laugh at ourselves. When I look at the mirror, you know, in the mirror in the morning, I realize how awesomely large God's sense of humor is. 1 Timothy 3:16. You will recognize this verse, it's so apostolic. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Boy, there's some preaching in that phrase, mystery of godliness. Sometimes godliness can get a little bit complicated. Understand how to work in it and walk in it. But then there's a pause, a colon. God was manifest, key word tonight. God was manifest in the flesh. Who was that? That was Jesus. Manifest. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You may be seated. I'm hungering after God's manifestation. I love it when God shows up. That's our title tonight, Hungering After God's Manifestation. and to take a scripture that, you know, it's a Godhead scripture. It's one that's worthy of memorization. That's who Jesus was. He was God manifest in the flesh. Nowhere in the New Testament, I'm going to throw out a few little raisins for the cookies that are not in my notes. Nowhere in the New Testament will you find this expression, God in three persons. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the New Testament will you find that phraseology. Why use non-biblical or unbiblical terminology to describe someone, capital S, who is extremely biblical? We use the word manifestation, like God was manifest. God was manifest. So he was manifested as Father in creation. He was manifested as Son in redemption. He was manifested as the Holy Ghost in regeneration. Key word, manifested. So I'm glad that we have that beautiful term for understanding the Godhead. And that we're not serving three gods. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, it takes all of my energies to please and serve one. I don't have anything left over for two more members. Okay? I heard about a lady who nicknamed her husband Theory instead of Deary because he seldom worked. The Trinity, the Trinitarian concept, is a theory. All right, it's simply a theory that's not substantiated by Scripture. But I want you to see, though, that in this beautiful verse, that word manifest. God loves to manifest himself. He loves it. He was, Jesus, was the bridge between God and men. He was verily God and verily man. Or we could say, very God and very man. He was the God-man. He was the one who was invisible, who became visible. And that's another reason why I like to bring this up. Because when we have God do a miracle, God reaches into the invisible and makes the answer visible. So it's a transfer from one realm to another. I hunger to see more of God and his manifestation in the church of the living Lord. Hallelujah. He's here. Why don't we celebrate him just for a moment? He is here. Notice I didn't say they. He is here. Praise God. And he's hungry. He's desirous. He's motivated to manifest himself. He loves to manifest himself. Praise God. And so, like our needs. So much like our needs. I don't think I've ever preached from this scripture and gone this direction with it in my short life. And when I said short life, that's supposed to put you on the floor laughing. My short life. This is Methuselah up here talking to you, okay? But I'm going to take it and one of the things that I love about God's word is that there are many applications of truth, okay? So, like, take our needs. They're very visible. It might be healing. And we need a healing revival. We need healings to break out, bust out. We need healing here. We need it in our camp meetings. We need it in our conferences. We need it in our homes. We need healings. But it takes manifestation to accomplish that, the manifestation of God's power. We need deliverance. We have dominion over unclean spirits. I don't believe that you can be demon-possessed and have the Holy Ghost. Never have believed that. But I do believe you can be oppressed. And there's scripture that actually says that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's Acts 10:38, not Acts 2:38. We know Acts 2:38. That's 10:38. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So if you're oppressed, There's authority in the house. The blood of Jesus is ready to be applied. There are promises. What about victory over sin? Our needs are very visible, but our answers are in the invisible. So we need, there's such an incumbent need upon us for God to manifest himself. Praise God. I hunger for that. I have been in places where, and you have too, but I can think of some places where I have seen the manifestation of God's power. And I still talk about it today, though it was a long time ago. I have seen God do some amazing miracles. I remember watching a man who was in a wheelchair, had been in a wheelchair for 9 years. A very gifted, very anointed, Holy Ghost-filled preacher prayed over him and encouraged him to step up and step out of that wheelchair. And he began to walk on wobbly legs, but he hadn't walked in 9 years. So even wobbly legs walk is miraculous when you haven't done that in 9 years. And that anointed Holy Ghost-filled preacher prayed for him again, and those legs straightened out, and he walked across that platform like he'd been doing it all his life. Listen, Jesus is a healer. He loves to show out. He loves to show his power. Let's stop again and praise him in the presence of the Lord. Oh, in God's presence, there is supernatural abilities. Praise God, released. Lord, we honor you. We bless your name. We lift you up. We talk about your divine abilities and your desire, Lord, to help us. In Jesus' name, I hunger for the manifestation of God's presence. Like, you know, it's kind of like this. And the word manifest from the Greek, we're going to throw up a little something here for you. It's an interesting word, a simple word. But it basically means to render apparent. Manifest from the Greek, to render apparent or make clear. So when God's everywhere. Isn't that true? Yes. God's everywhere. He fills the universe. He's everywhere. But when miracles happen, it's because there is a manifest presence. And this is something that you and I can pray for, Lord. We know you're already here before we even come in the building. But let the manifest presence, the presence of God that manifests itself in power, in deliverance, in healing, let the manifest presence of the Lord be here tonight. Oh, praise God. And there's that beautiful scripture that talked about in the presence of God was present to heal them all. I crave, I hunger after more from God, and he wants to do it for us. But I think we have to understand how to work with building a bridge so that the manifestation of the invisible can come into the visible. If you asked, if you walked up to a ship owner or the skipper and said, I would like to see the ship's manifest, what are you? You're wanting to see what is officially carried on that ship. What is present? What is riding with you there? What is the ship carrying? It's called the ship's manifest, and it's a revelation of everything that they're carrying on board. Thus, when we read that Jesus is God manifested, hallelujah, it's God made clear. It's God rendered apparent. Like, we know he's here, but when he manifests his power, he's rendered it very apparent, made it very clear. He's on sight. Hallelujah. He is present and accounted for. And he brought his cargo of deliverance and healing virtue and prayer answering goodness. He brought all of that with him. Oh, let's thank him again. Praise God. We want it, Lord. We want you and we want your power. And we hunger after you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all that you do and all that you're doing. Thank you for the manifestation of your spirit. Here is a verse of scripture that you don't often see from the book of John. Love the Gospel of John. Great, great book. It's one of the books we quizzed on. Actually, it's the book we quizzed on when we won that championship. It's an amazing gospel, and I'm still quoting verses from it that I memorized back when I was a teeny bopper. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Verse 21, John 14. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Anybody love God in the house? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. Watch this. And will manifest myself to him. Manifest is a biblical term. If you will love him, I don't know about you, but some of the greatest manifestations that I experience, and I usually experience some manifestation of God in my life every day. Every day. I am not exaggerating. I just want a whole lot more so we can help a whole lot more people. But what did he say? If you love me, I will come to you and I will manifest. I will render myself very visible. I will visibly make a difference. I will make clear that God is on sight if you will love me. It's when I'm worshiping. It's when I'm worshiping. And God bless our amazing praise team. And we do miss Brother Thad, Brother Noah. Your brother is so incredible. We love him. I talked to him today. There was some kind of a crazy sickness dancing around, and it bit a few people, and some of our folks were able by the grace and power of God to cast it off, but it really bit into Brother Thad. He's so amazing. Here he is. He teaches his class. He feels, you know, he just feels terrible, and he carries the music on Sunday. Let me know that he'd probably be slipping out to go on home, but he was so responsible. Sister Amber didn't feel so hot. Watch healing right now, praise God. Hallelujah. But she stayed and carried the luggage, and Holy Ghost touched her. Come on now. So God bless her and bless all of you that's hung in there. Brother Noah's bouncing back. We as people, we hate it when people act like they don't see us. I'm sure you could identify with that. We want, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I've actually been in some churches where I thought I offended them by coming. I'm serious. Nobody, before service, during the service, after the service, nobody, I'm not talking about our churches either, but nobody greeted me in the whole excursion. I come early, involved in service, stay afterward. Nobody addressed me, and nobody greeted me. Thank God our churches are not like that. That was supposed to have been a famous church. I'm not sure what it was famous for, but I think it was ice cubes and stuff like that, you know, developing the Arctic atmosphere and stuff. Frozen at the mouth, you know what I mean? Like the Arctic rivers of the north. But nobody, I mean, absolutely nobody even bothered me. I actually felt like I offended them by visiting their church. But our churches ought to be the warmest places on earth. Praise God. Even if it's frigid cold out there, coming in here. Come on in here. The water's warm. I like to say that to people. Come on in here. The water's warm. Praise God. Yes, he's here. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll hang out with you. We did last week. We do this from time to time. We just love hanging with God's kids. But what I'm trying to say is, just as you don't, I don't, we don't want to walk in and nobody notices, so God doesn't like walking in here and nobody noticing him. Nobody giving him a welcome. I know of a pastor, newly elected pastor, that was praying. I believe this was his first board meeting. And he decided to pray over the board meeting and welcome the Holy Ghost, right? And he knew what that meant, too. And so he started praying, and he welcomed the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost fell on the board meeting and blew board members out of their chairs. And one of them that wasn't sure if they had the right guy when the meeting started came to about 2 hours later. And then he knew, we really do have the right man here now, don't we? But he welcomed the Holy Ghost. You don't like walking into a place where nobody recognizes you. And God does not like it when he walks in and nobody gives him honor. And nobody gives him praise. And nobody recognizes his ability. But when we worship and when we praise him, We are opening the door to supernatural manifestations. Let me tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. You can praise your way into a healing. You can praise your way into a deliverance. You can praise your way into answered prayer, because prayer and worship opens up the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Let's love him again. Would you with me right now? Lord, we welcome the Holy Ghost. We welcome the power of God. We welcome the supernatural. We recognize your ability. You are King of kings and Lord of lords and Prince of life. And there is nothing too hard for you to do. So do your thing, mighty God. Do your thing. Woo, I feel like clapping to him. I feel his presence in the house. You can have more of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost if you are willing to love on him and worship him. Woo! I wish somebody would jump up and dance a little jig. I felt the supernatural kind of get unplugged here just moments ago. You can be healed while you're praising him. He loves to manifest his power to people who will love on him. Woo! Mighty, mighty God. Woo! Amazing Savior. Be exalted, be exalted. You can praise your way out of depression. You can praise your way out of problems and trials and troubles. You can praise and worship your way into the realm of the supernatural, where God will manifest himself to help you in every challenge. Woo, come on now. How many of us have seen it? We're a worshiping church. God wants people to know he is present. And he's insulted when he walks in and nobody sees him with eyes of faith. Listen to this. God loves to manifest himself. He loves to do that. When Paul, by the Holy Ghost, was given the instructions in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians for the gifts, the oral gifts, the spoken gifts. There's three different categories of the gifts. And there's one that's known as the oral gifts, like prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And so he was laying out some rules and guidelines so we could keep things somewhat organized. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14:24, but if all prophesy, okay, or speak in their native tongue under an anointing, all right, that's what that means. And there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. What does that mean? Okay, now, I believe that prophecy, you know, sometimes we have ideas so narrow we need to stack those ideas, you know, on top of each other in our brain because our mind is so narrow. We could poke both our eyes out with one jab up a straight pin. Our brains sometimes get a little narrow with the way that we see and think about things. Prophecy isn't, and I know we've got some folks that prophesy and they work in utterance gifts. A number of people, Sister Amber, you tap into that. Sister Meadows, different ones. We're open to that. We don't shut the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is moving, we don't shut him down. We don't play the music louder so we can drown out what the Spirit of God's doing. We're open to that. But anyway, he's trying to give some guidelines here. And he says that when people are prophesying, they're speaking under an anointing. Well, you could reach over and pray for somebody, and all of a sudden you feel the Holy Ghost move on you, and you feel impressed to say something. That's prophecy, too. That's it. Prophecy is not just prophecy when you announce that, okay, now I'm going to give a message in tongues, and now I'm going to give an interpretation. It doesn't happen that way, does it? It's spontaneous. There's a spontaneity to it. So in a service, you feel anointed. He gets up, and I think sometimes, Josh, you almost, it's a prophetical anointing, see? But we don't announce it. We don't say, oh, is somebody just, you know, prophesying? God's good. Hallelujah. But we recognize that it's an anointing. Or you reach around and you pray for somebody that's standing in back of you, and you feel an anointing on you when you pray over them and things that you say. Kimberly Letwinch, I remember this one, the Sunday they were here. he was standing right here and wrapped her arms around Jennifer and was praying over her. And I could tell, I felt something's happening right now in the Holy Ghost, in the realm of Holy Ghost. Something's happening there right now. I don't know what it is. Well, I guess Sister Lewitt, who obviously didn't know Jennifer, spoke to her about her kids. How would she even know that they had them? Because they weren't present. And she let her know that God's hand of protection was on her kids. Well, that next week, their son falls off a cliff 20 feet. Could have broken his leg, could have broken his neck, could have broken his back, could be totally out of commission. And he's not. Josh is doing just fine. But because God had given them a word. This is what Paul was referring to, the Holy Ghost referring to in 1 Corinthians 14. When you prophesy, when you speak under an anointing, people begin to understand that God is here and he's manifesting himself. That's why the next verse says, verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made what? Manifest. How many of you know this is true? The preacher's preaching, and you look over and you said, did you tell him? You told him. You know, this little thing goes on between husbands and wives, and parents and kids. You know, did you tell him? Come on, you told him. I've had this experience. It's wonderful. But somebody, my wife would say, did you know that in, after service, you know, did you know that da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And I would go, no, I didn't know that at all. As a matter of fact, would you please go back to them and tell them I knew nothing about all of that. I was speaking from inspiration because the testimony of Jesus, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. So I'm telling you that we can move. We have a church that is giving to this, and we can move in this, and it opens the door. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. What does that mean? God showed up and gave you something you didn't know that when you ministered it whether it was just speaking it, or you ministered it in prayer. I want you to know that Christopher and Jennifer were greatly encouraged that next week when they realized God in a word of wisdom. What's a word of wisdom? It's different than a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is a fact about something, a place, a thing, a fact, usually in the past. Word of wisdom has to do with the future. The Lord dropped a word of wisdom in Kimberly Letwinch and ministered it to Jennifer, and they were ready. Matter of fact, they had this little conversation. Uh-oh, you know, after service. Uh-oh, something's up. And Christopher, I believe he said something like this, Tim. He probably shared it with you because you're why they're coming, old soul winner, you. And that beautiful men's breakfast, that's where we first had Chris show up. But see, Chris said, well, God's got this. If this is God telling us something, then God's got this. And there was a manifestation of God's knowledge. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm almost done. Be sensitive. Don't be afraid to be sensitive and tenderhearted to the presence of God. You never know. See, like, I'm looking at Caitlin right now. And Caitlin, stand up because you're so tall, baby. You're so tall. And see, now, I've not seen this in a while. But I've seen her run. And I can tell you, she can run like the wind. Because I've seen it. She's manifested that athleticism at picnics and stuff. God bless you. May be seated, Caitlin. Happy birthday, by the way. Bless you. What a sweet, sweet young lady. And those handsome brothers of hers that she serves as a diligent bodyguard to. Praise God. Amen. Watch this now. Jesus is just strolling by, right? But he sees a serious need. John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, here's what happens to those of us that are theologically gifted. We would rather argue theology than cast out devils. We would rather argue and show our brainiac tendencies and our skill in the word than minister to somebody who needs a miracle. I'm just saying, you can't have both, okay? If you want to impress people, and God, hey, thank God for great theology. We have the most beautiful doctrines anywhere, anytime. New birth, one God, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, holiness. We have a revelation on worship. We have so many truths that we share here and walk in, and they're incredible. But God doesn't want me to be a professional warmonger. You know, he's not called me to straighten everybody out. Oh, wow, that takes so much pressure off of me. And you. And sometimes we're so busy proving our point when if we would just pray and ask God to show himself, we'd get what we really need and what they need. So, they're in the midst of this, well, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made what? Manifest in him. So how'd this happen? Do you know there are manifestation blockers? That's not in my lesson tonight, but I'm so tempted to talk about them. So I will hit on one of them, okay? There are manifestation blockers. If the Lord would let me, I'm not saying he will. I'll have to check with the boss, and that's not Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band, all right? I'm going to check with the Father and see if he'll let me come back with the second piece to the second part, but there are manifestation blockers. There are things that if we're saying or doing them, they block the manifestation of God's power. And when we remove the blockages, it's easier for God to show himself. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. He is just, he loves. That's not in my notes. Throw that one up, would you, Brother Scott? That was quickened to me as I was talking. But it shows the eagerness of God. You don't have to talk God into being motivated or eager to show his ability. He loves to show out. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. He's, in other words, he's just looking for a chance. You don't have to talk him into being motivated. He loves to manifest himself. And he said, if you will love me, I will come into you and will manifest myself. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart. Okay, whose heart is perfect toward him. It starts right in here. And it takes so little. It takes so little to get goofed up on the inside. It could be a simple misinterpretation. It could be an unjust criticism. It could be just crazy stuff that happens to us and we don't understand the whys and the wherefores of it. But if we continue, see, keep thy heart with all diligence. Anybody remember that from Proverbs 4? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why I love altar calls. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whatever happens, One of my old pastors used to say, whatever happens, keep a good spirit. Keep a good spirit. Keep a sweet spirit no matter what happens to you. Keep a good spirit. So how did this blind man? Jesus made it clear that he, you know, this whole thing was a setup so the manifestation of God's power could take place. Look down at verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Now here we go. This is kind of, sounds almost kind of bizarre. Because sometimes when God has you do something, he might not give you paragraphs of explanation. Lord, this is a little weird. This is a little weird, God. And he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, I got a question for you. How do you go anywhere looking for something when, first of all, you're blind, and second of all, you got mud cakes in your eyes? Go. I'm sorry. I got to be careful. I get wiped out with my eyes. Let's see if I can somehow come up with something. Here we go. Mercy, Lord. All right. Well, go wash in the pool, Siloam. It's like, if it had been me, I would have said, good God. That's what we say. Of course, if you use that word a lot, you know, we sound more like a goat. But God, than a sheep. Just saying. So he's already blind. Wasn't that a lot to expect? Was that? Well, thanks a lot. You know, I would have been tempted to say, well, thanks a lot, Jesus. I already had a problem. Now I've really got a problem because I've got these two mud pies in my eyes, and you're telling me that I need to go find the pool Siloam. Have you ever had God ask you to do something and you spent your energies convincing him that you couldn't do it? Moses, I can't speak, Lord. Okay, I'll give you Aaron to help you. And if you follow the story, it didn't seem like he ever needed Aaron to speak for him. So here is a manifestation blocker, disobedience. Obedience, right? Remember this in the middle of the word, O-B-E, and then here we go, D-I-E. There's a die in the heart of the word. There's a cemetery. Paul said, this man of miracles and anointed, you know, he spoke one report on his life, and he said he spoke 11 dialects. Brilliant, brilliant man, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most famous of Jewish rabbis. But he said, I die daily. No wonder God had so much room to manifest his power, because Paul made sure he got himself out of the way. So let's pray right now as we soften the lights. In Jesus' name, what are you needing, God? What are you needing, God, to do for you? Sometimes he deals with us over the years and months and weeks, and sometimes it takes so long for him to get us. Sometimes he'll just step back because we're not willing to obey him. And there was an amazing miracle that took place here. there was a manifestation of God's healing power. And the blockage was removed. And a man who could have complained that he was asked by the Lord to do something impossible, he found a way to get to the pool of Siloam. God will never ask you or me to do something impossible, but when you step out and you're willing, see, that's what you call blind obedience. A blind man who cannot see with mud cakes in his eyes, double blind, blind obedience. When instead of needing signatures and addendums and recommendations and papers and on ad infinitum into infinitude, we step forward and we look for the pool, because the Bible says he came back seeing. Would you love the Lord with me as we just throw out a challenge in the name of Jesus? He wants to manifest. God wants to manifest his power in your home. God wants to manifest his power. If you need a healing, I wish you would stand up. I don't care what it's for. It's between you and God. But you need the Lord to manifest his healing in your physical frame. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Is he asking you to take a step? Is he asking you? It might be right here in this service. In the next few moments, is God asking you? Because faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. Could you step out on the promises of God and obey him, though it be, as it were, a spiritual challenge, a huge difficulty? But God says, I want to show you. I love to show people my power. I love to walk into the room and be acknowledged. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Would you say that with me? Lord, I acknowledge you. As we play some beautiful worship music, I know that God wants to touch us right now. Let the manifestation of God's power quicken your mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of the Lord quicken your physical abilities. Lord, come on me. Because he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Woo, come upon me, Holy Ghost. Would you invite him to move upon you right now? Lord, this body is your temple. This is your vessel. I am your vessel, Lord. I am your child, Lord. I need a miracle in my body. I'm going to ask Sister Meadows to walk around and anoint with oil. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. And when she comes by you, just step into a miracle. Step into a manifestation.